I suspect there comes a time in the life of every Christian when he wants to turn back. When he says, oh, hang it all. It isn't worth it. I'm sure that you recall the first time that into your life there came such a desire. You got saved. Everything was rosy. Everybody was friendly. Adversities were few. Problems were almost minimal. And seemed like that everything was going well. Then all of a sudden something happened. Maybe you lost your job and you think God thought that God had done you an injustice. Or perhaps you had gotten ill and you felt like that God was not being fair and good to you. Maybe you became discouraged, or perhaps the preacher didn't seem as interesting as he used to seem. Or perhaps the church was not quite as friendly, or maybe somebody didn't give you as much attention as you felt you deserved. And there was a temptation to turn back. Every Christian, I guess, if not every Christian, nearly every Christian, faces such a temptation. I can recall when I heard that my father had dropped dead with a heart attack. I was a preacher. I was serving God, and God knows, and God knew then, I was trying to serve God. And all of a sudden, my drunkard dad is buried in a drunkard's grave. And I said for a while, that's not fair. That's not right. I mean, Lord, you know I'm trying to serve you. I can't understand that. And for a split moment, I was tempted just to ditch the whole thing, turn my back on God and go my own way. I'm sure young folks feel sometimes with all the temptations and the laughter, and folks make fun of you because you stand for God. There's a temptation to turn back and just say, okay, I'll ditch it all and go with the world and go with the crowd. We, like Lot's wife, want to look back. We, like the children of Israel of old, look back to Egypt and remember as good the onions and cucumbers and watermelons and leeks and garlic of Egypt. We, like the Israelites, become weary and tired of the manna from heaven dropping every morning from God, angel's food, if you please. And there comes a desire in our hearts to turn back and say, okay, we'll just go back to the old life. And by the way, many follow that temptation and heed Satan's admonition and do turn back. But when they do, they hear a voice from behind. To me, this is one of the sweetest verses in all the Bible where it says, and thine ears shall hear a voice from behind thee saying, this is the way. Now, why was the voice from behind? Because the people had turned their back on God. Here's a man who was serving God. He was faithful to God. He was in fellowship with his God. And all of a sudden, he turned his back on God. And God says, that doesn't matter. You hear my voice from the front when you're facing me, but when you turn your back on me, you'll hear my voice from behind. The voice from behind. God's voice saying, I won't give up on you. I'm going to beg you again. You've turned your back on me. I beg you from the rear. I beg you from the back. Turn back to me. Come back to me. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Don't go straight ahead. Turn around. Come back to me. Give me your life again. God simply saying, I'm going to chase you when you turn from me. I'm going to run after you. I'm not going to let you go without a fight. I'm going to keep on trying to get you to turn, and you'll hear a voice from behind. Now I want you to notice two things in the message. First is the voice from behind, and second, the message from behind. What does the voice say? Now in the first place, the voice from behind. I say again, God does not turn his back on you. I'm talking to someone tonight in this service. You've turned your back on God. There was a day when you served him. There was a day when you loved him. There was a day when you lived in his word. There was a day when you walked with God. But you turned your back on God. But God's after you tonight. God hasn't turned his back on you. You turn away from God, God never turns away from his people. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He wants you back tonight. Oh, you're running from God, but there's a voice from behind. Young people, listen to me while I'm preaching. The blonde-headed boy over here. You run from God, God wants you back. You turned your back on God, God wants you back. God won't let you go. I've had dozens of people walk in my office, sit down across from my desk, or sit on the sofa in my office, put their heads in their hands and say, preacher, my daughter is gone. She's gone to the devil. But I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to turn back on her. I'm going to have hope. I'm not going to give her up. Or my son has gone, I don't know where he is, he's left home. He's gone into sin, he's gone to communistic teaching, or he's gone into the world, or he's gone, left the country, or gone to narcotics, but I'm not going to give him up. I'm not going to give him up. And that's the way our dear Lord says, have you turned your back on God? Hear the voice from the back. Have you turned your back away from the God who loves you? Hear the voice from the rear tonight. The voice still beckons. The voice still pleads. The voice still comes. Sometimes people turn on me. The Christians turn on the preacher. But the preacher shouldn't turn on the Christian. And you ask anybody in this room, there are folks in this room tonight who've turned on me, but I've not turned on them. God knows. I'm not saying that I don't deserve being turned on sometimes. And I'm not saying that I'm always right. Everybody else is wrong. But I'll tell you what, you ask anybody that knows me, I won't turn back on anybody. I won't refuse to speak to anybody. I'll help them as long as they'll come to my office, as long as they'll come to me for help, as long as there's a chance, I'll help people and God that way. They may turn their back on the church. People may say, I'm going to turn my back on the church. But the church ought to have a voice from the rear saying, come back, come back, come back, come back, come back. A voice from the rear. They may turn their back on the Bible. But we're supposed to say from the rear, come back. They may turn their back on prayer, but we say from the rear, come back. They may turn their back on our school, but the school should say from the rear, come back to God, come back to God. They may turn their back on the friends, but we ought to say, never give up, never give up. The Bowery Mission in New York City had a motto through the years, we never give up on a man. We never give up on a man. As long as he'll come back, we'll take him back. We'll feed him. We'll clothe him. We'll try to help him. We never give up. We never give up on a man. And so the voice comes from the rear. Now, yet if the church were to turn her back on you, or if for some reason I were to turn my back on you, if you turn away from God and away from the church and away from all that's good and away from the Bible and away from the right life and away from the good path, and the church says, okay, go on to the devil. And the preacher says, okay, go on to the devil. And everybody else, the friends, say, okay, go on to the devil. There's one who'll never turn his back on you. His faith is always towards you. He wants you to come back to himself if you've gone away from him. God keeps on following. This little deal about a voice from behind, it carries more to it than just a person standing here and somebody talking from the rear. It's, let's see, Doc, come in and let me use you here for a minute. You turn your back on me, and now you start walking from me. And I come, and I said, turn.
Run out a little faster.
And I said, turn back, turn back, turn back, turn back.
Well, thank you, Doc.
You have to stop when you get to the wall. And But the faster you run, the faster God chases you. And you run away from God, and God says, don't run away, come on back. And you run faster, and God says, I'll run faster too. And the voice keeps coming from the rear, come back, come back, come back, come back. God keeps on following. Lot, you may go to Sodom. Lot, you may choose the well-watered plains toward Sodom. Lot, you may go into sin. Turn me down a trifle, fellas, just a little bit. You may go into sin, Lot. You may sell out your daughters, and you may sell out your decency, and you may become a wicked man in the wickedest city in the whole world. But God's behind you. The voice from behind says, Lot, come back. Come back, Lot. Come back, Lot. David, you may become a murderer. You may steal the wife of Uriah. You may look at Bathsheba while she's bathing and have lustful thoughts, and you may steal her. And you may trick Uriah to come back from the battlefield, and you may send him back and have him killed on the battlefield. Boys, back in the back, sit up straight and listen while I'm preaching. David, you may live in sin. David, you may go all the way down. But there's the voice from God from the back who says, come back. God sends a Nathan. God sends his voice. Come back, David! Hey, David, come back! Hey, David, I'm chasing you! David, come back! You may go as far in sin as you can go, David, but the voice of God is there from the rear. Peter, you may deny the Lord. You may say, I'm not with them. You may curse and say, I'm not one of them. I don't even know who they are. You may do that, but God has got his cock about to crow, and God's voice comes from the back. You may, Jonah, you may run from God's will. You may flee the revival. God wants you to preach in Nineveh. You may run down to Joppa. You may go into sin. And you may have to be cast overboard. You may go in the belly of a great fish prepared by God. And you may be a dirty backslider. But there's the voice of God. Oh, from the back, God says, from behind, God says, Jonah, I want you back. Jonah, I've got a job for you to do. I want you back. I'm not going to give up on you. Jonah, when you go to Joppa, I'm going to follow you there. When you go on the ship, I'm going to follow you there. When you go to sea, I'm going to follow you there. When you go out in the water, I'm going to follow you there. When you get in the belly of the whale, I'm going to follow you there. David, when you look at Bathsheba, I'm going to follow you there. When you commit awful sin and kill her husband, I'm going to follow you there. When you go to the bottom, I'm going to follow you there. The voice from behind is always there. The voice from behind. Don't you hear that voice tonight? I'm talking to people in this room who've turned your back on God. You may have gone the deepest into sin you've ever gone, but there's a voice from behind that calls you back. You may have turned your back on God and run away. You may have gone to the liquor traffic and the bawdy houses and the red light district. You may have gone in the narcotics and communism and filth and down to the very depths of sin. But if you've known God and if you're one of God's own, God says, there's a voice from the back. There's a voice from behind. I want you back. I want you back. I want you back. Doc, that young man that sang with you a while ago, your oldest boy, if Bob were to go into awful sin, if Bob were to leave God and quit the school and to say he didn't believe the Bible anymore and go into awful sin, if you knew where he was, you'd follow him to the ends of the earth and say, Bob, you've got to get right. Bob, you've got to do better. Bob, you're ruining the family name. Bob, you've got to come back. There's a voice from behind, Bob, saying, come back, come back, come back. And that's what God does. You're going to sin, though your sins be as scarlet. There's a voice from behind. Though you live in wickedness, there's a voice from behind. Though you go to Sodom, there's a voice from behind. Though you kill Uriah, there's a voice from behind. Though you steal Bathsheba, there's a voice from behind. Though you go to the ocean and get on a ship, there's a voice from behind. Though you leave God's will, there's a voice from behind. Though you curse God, there's a voice from behind. Shut your Bible, don't read it, there's a voice from behind. Refuse to pray, there's a voice from behind. Stay out of church, there's a voice from behind. Tonight, if you're away from God's perfect will for your life, if you're not serving God and you've left God's plan for your life, listen carefully, you will hear the voice from behind. Saying, return unto me. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And so God keeps on following. Abraham, you may go to Egypt, but there's a voice from behind. Abraham, you may lie about Sarah being your wife, but there's a voice from behind. Abraham, you may take Lot with you to Egypt and ruin his life, but there's a voice from behind. Abraham, you've left the will of God, but there's a voice from behind. Abraham, you turned your back on God's perfect plan, but there's a voice from behind. Abraham, come back, come back. Jacob, you may leave the will of God and go down to Padan Aram, 500 miles away. You may stay for 20 years, but Jacob, there's a voice from behind. You may have stolen your brother's birthright, but there's a voice from behind. You may have stolen the blessing, you trickster, you dirty cheek, but there's a voice from behind. You may have traveled 25 miles the first day away from God's will, but there's a voice from behind. You go down into Padan Aram and down in the foreign country 500 miles away. There's a voice saying, Jacob, come back to Bethel. Jacob, come back to Bethel. Jacob, come back to Bethel. Back to the Bible, the true living God. Back to the pathway I once trod. Bethel is calling and I must go. There's a voice from behind. Naomi, you may leave the will of God and leave Bethlehem, but there's a voice from behind. You may take your boys, Malan and Chilion, down to Moab, but there's a voice from behind. You may go into sin, but there's a voice from behind. Elimelech, you may go with her, but there's a voice from behind. There's somebody every step you take to Moab saying, come back, come back, come back. There's somebody following Abraham every step he takes to Egypt saying, come back, come back, come back. There's somebody going with Lot every step he takes to Sodom saying, come back, come back, come back. God is saying, as you go into sin and turn your back on God, God is saying he loves you. He won't turn his back on you. There's always the voice from behind. It may be that in some motel room some night in sin, vomiting everything you've got in your stomach and your life and health wrecked and ruined, it may be some little mother's on her knees at home beside the bed where she prayed all through those years. And she's saying, oh, God, bring back my boy. Bring back my girl. Oh, God, I didn't rear my daughter to be that. I didn't rear my son to be that. And the voice of God goes from behind and says, come back! Come back! You young folks who've been flirting with sin, there's a voice from behind tonight. You men on the job flirting with sin, there's a voice from behind tonight. You ladies wanting to wear your skirts up to your thighs, show your thighs and wear your skirts up to your hips and
show your thighs in public, and then you want to cast aside all restraints and live like animals. There's a voice from behind. You folks that have drifted away from God and the church, there's a voice from behind. Yes, God keeps on following. Now, if God can't get your attention when he follows you, he may have to do something to get your attention. David may have to go to a little grave before he hears the voice of God from behind. It may be that God says, David, come back! Oh, David, come back! Hey, David, turn around, come back to me! But David doesn't hear the voice of God. And so it may be that David's baby is going to get sick. And it may be that David's going to one day come home and Bathsheba's going to say, David, the baby is not well. And David may have to come to the little crib and say, oh my, the baby looks bad. And the doctor may have to come and say, David, the baby can't live. And David may have to look at the little body that has quit breathing. And David may see his sin before him. And David may have to follow a hearse out to baby land and place that little bundle of flesh in a grave and turn to walk away with his heart buried beneath the sod in that little baby. God may have to do that, David, to get your attention. But God wants you to listen. Come back, David, come back. If you won't listen to me, David, I may have to let Amnon, one of your sons, rape his own sister. I may have to let Absalom kill his own brother. I may bring tragedy and ruin to get your attention. But David, I want you to come back. There's a voice from behind. I may have to cause Absalom to rebel against you, David. He may have to fight against your forces. He may be killed in battle with your forces. And you may have to follow the cemetery or the hearse out of the cemetery to place your own son Amnon beside your little baby boy in the cemetery. And you may have to follow Amnon, who is murdered by Absalom. And you may have to follow the hearse to place Absalom. And here's the baby boy over here. And here's Amnon here. And here's Absalom here. And David turns to walk away the third time from the cemetery, from the silent city of the dead. And God says, David, I didn't want to bury your baby. I loved you, but I had to get your attention so you could hear the voice from behind. David, I didn't want your son to rape his own sister and Absalom to murder his own brother. I didn't want to do that to you, David, but I couldn't get your attention. And so I had to get your attention, and I had to send tragedy in your home and to your children. David, I didn't want Absalom to rebel against you. I didn't want him to die. I didn't want him to hang there in the tree. I didn't want you to see your son dead and to cry, oh, Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee, oh, Absalom, my son. I didn't want to. Let me tell you something tonight, dear friend. You keep running from God, and God's going to get your attention. Now, you may mark it down right now. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Be sure your sin will find you out. The wages of sin is death. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a divine law of God of the reaping of what we sow. And if you turn your back on God and keep on going and keep on going, the God of heaven's going to get your attention someday. He may make you follow a hearse out to baby land. For the vineyard, you know what I'm talking about. God tried to get this man's attention here, and he'll tell the story better than I, how that his little child was taken and how his whole life was changed. And he said, dear God, I'm going to serve you from now on. God's going to get your attention. God's going to get your attention. Naomi, if you don't listen to the voice from behind, Naomi, I'm sorry, but down in Moab, you may have to one day feel the fevered brow of your husband, Elimelech. And Elimelech is going to feel a pain in his chest, and Naomi turns and sees her husband falling over, collapsing maybe, and he's gone, and she follows the hearse out to the cemetery. It isn't long, Naomi, till God says, I'm going to take Mahlon, one of your boys, and Chilion, another one of your boys. What happens? Naomi's by herself. What's God doing? The voice from behind says, Naomi, don't leave Bethlehem. Come back. She leaves Bethlehem, and the voice follows. Naomi, come on back home. And she keeps on going away from God's will. Naomi, come on back home. She doesn't listen. She doesn't heed the voice of God. The day comes when her husband is killed. The day comes when her two boys are killed. God had to get her attention, and the voice could not be heard till it did. I say again, you just go right ahead and turn your back on God. You go right ahead and run with your worldly crowd. Go right ahead and drink your beer and read your Playboy magazine and watch your dirty, sexy movies on television and watch the soap operas and live like heathen do and turn away from God. But you mark it down, my brother, there's a righteous and holy and just God in heaven who hates sin. And God is going to get your attention. If you don't turn back to God, if you're his child, God's going to get your attention. Now, you may have to do it the hard way. It may be Jonah.
that you'll have to be cast off the ship. There's a voice from behind, and Jonah turns to leave the will of God.
Hey, Jonah! Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it.
And Jonah turns around, and his back is to God, and he hears a voice from behind. Jonah, go preach in Nineveh. Don't leave me. But Jonah goes on to Joppa, and every step he takes to Joppa, he's hounded by the voice from behind. And the voice from behind says, Jonah, come on back, come on back. Jonah doesn't come back. He gets on the ship. The voice from behind gets on the ship. He's cast out of the ship into the sea. The voice from behind goes into the sea. He goes in the belly of the fish. The voice from behind goes in the belly of the fish. Jonah may have to face death. He may have to be whipped. He may have to be spanked. He may have to live. And I've always thought that would not be the best place in the world to live. Some of you folks have heard me tell this. I was up in Canada preaching in, what city was it? Winnipeg, Canada, preaching. I stayed in the home of a couple of school teachers, a lovely home. And after I preached the first night, they got mad at me. My host and hostesses got mad. They didn't like my preaching. And I preached a little rough for them, and they didn't like it. And so they wouldn't. They had a nice bedroom where they were going to put me in a bed, in a bedroom, but they didn't. They changed and put me in an empty room with nothing but a pallet on the floor. And they went to their nice bedrooms, and I slept on the floor, just a quilt on the floor and a sheet over the quilt, and no pillow. I had to fold up something in the corner and make a pillow out of it. The next morning they got up and cooked breakfast. I could smell bacon frying. It even smelled good, too. And coffee smells good, but of course only sinners drink it, and folks who... But anyway, they wouldn't invite me to breakfast. Little boy about 5 years old who loved me slipped me a Mr. Goodbar candy bar through the door, and I fell into sin, had a Mr. Goodbar candy bar for breakfast that morning. But I was sitting there on the floor, no chair to sit in, no bed to sleep on. I was sitting there right in the middle of the floor, and I got to thinking about the folks in the Bible where they stayed when they preached. I got to thinking about that Mamertine prison where the Apostle Paul stayed. And you know, that little room looked pretty good, and that little pattern on the floor looked pretty good. Then I got to thinking about old Jonah down there sleeping with a gizzard of a fish for his pillow. And I got to thinking all that wet, gooey kind of a place to stay. I'm not sure what it was, but I don't think they had indoor facilities in there. And it's indoor in whale facilities, but I doubt it had hot and cold running water. And Jonah's there, and he's facing death. God may have to do it, and God may have to do that to you too. God may cause you to lose your health. The voice from behind. Listen, when you first go away from God, you hear the voice from behind. God may have to do something drastic to get your attention. It may be that when Lot left Abraham, Abraham said, Lot, you choose what you want. And Lot said, boy, I'm glad you said that. And he began to drool. He looked toward the well-watered plain toward Sodom. He said, Abraham, you take this old barren, old rocky hills here where nothing can grow, and I'll take the well-watered plains toward Sodom. And down those fertile fields, Lot began to go, and the voice from behind said, Lot, come back to me. And Lot kept on going faster, and the voice got faster. And Lot turned and ran away, and the voice said, Lot, come back! Come back, Lot! Come back! And Lot wouldn't do it. And Lot got to Sodom, and the voice from behind followed Lot to Sodom. And Lot became a wicked man, and the voice from behind stayed in Sodom. And Lot sold his daughters out to adultery, and a voice from behind came to Lot in Sodom. But Lot didn't hear the voice. And God, to get his attention, had to cause his wife to turn, become a pillar of salt, and cause his sons-in-law to be destroyed, and cause all his wealth and all his houses and everything to be destroyed. And there's Lot going outside the city to a little city of Zoar. Nobody's there but Lot and his two daughters. And I come up to Zoar, and I visit the city, and I knock on the door, and it says Lot and his two daughters. And I say, Lot, ask a question. Where's your wife? Oh, my wife, she's dead. She turned a pillar of salt. She looked back to Sodom. Lot, where are your sons-in-law? Oh, my, don't mention it. They're dead, too. See the smoke of that city over there. See the smoke of that city and the rubble of that city. And there, my sons-in-law. I didn't have enough testimony. My life was so inconsistent. So my own sons-in-law wouldn't listen. They laughed and mocked and made fun. When I warned them about the judgment of God, they're all gone. Hey, Lot,
this your grandbaby here? This little boy. Cute little kid there. Hey, fella. What's your name? Huh? What's your name? Boaz? That's a funny name. Boaz. Lot, this your grandbaby here? For little grandbaby? Oh. No, that's not my grandbaby. Well, Lot, who's the boy? That's my boy. I thought you said your wife was dead. She is.
Did you get married again?
No. No.
Well, Lot, I don't see any women around here. Who's the mother of little Moab?
And Lot wipes that tear as an arrow pierces his
heart. The voice from behind he didn't listen to, and God had to shake him.
And Lot said, that's my daughter's baby. They got me drunk, and I committed the sin of incest. And that little boy's mine and my daughter's. Hey, Lot, cute little boy over here. Hey, what's your name, fella? Ammon. Ammon? That's a funny name. You're a cute little boy, though. I'd give $1.98 for you. And, Lot, who's he? He's my boy, too. Who's his mother? My other daughter? Oh, my. Listen to me, dear friends. You listen to me, and you listen well. When you turn your back on God, when you decide to leave God's will, when you decide, I'll go my own way. I'll do what I want to do. I'm 18 years old, and I'll pick my own way. It's my life. If I want what I want to do, I'll do it. I want to see what the other side is like. I want to leave this old-time religion. I'm tired of rules. I'm tired of mom. I'm tired of dad. You're a fool. That's what you are. God's going to get your attention. The voice from behind will call you back, and if you won't come, he'll call again, and if you won't come, he'll call again, and if you won't come, he'll call again, if you won't come, he'll call again. If you won't listen to that voice from behind, the day is going to come when God's going to get your attention and arrest you. God will put you flat on your back or take a baby and put that baby in babyland in the cemetery, or God will take that job, or God will ruin your health, or God will take your family, or God will destroy your life. God will not let you get by. By running from him and running and running and running and running, if you're his child.
Amen.
Abraham left the will of God to go to Egypt, and the voice from behind followed. He got to Egypt, and the voice from behind was there. Abraham, come back, come back, come back, Abraham, come back, Abraham. God couldn't get his attention. Abraham had to say goodbye to a son, Hagar, born to an Egyptian bondwoman of Abraham. Oh, to me, I can't think of any sadder scene in all the Bible than when Sarah made Abraham cast out Hagar, and Hagar and Ishmael, Abraham's little boy, his firstborn boy, by the way, had to leave to go out to the desert land with nothing but a container of water. And Abraham saw his son. Yes, I know an illegitimate son, but nevertheless his son. Yes, I know a son of an Egyptian bondwoman, but nevertheless his son. Abraham saw Ishmael, his son, go away, and his heart broke. Oh, God had to do it to get his attention. And so, but there's something else. Then if God can't get your attention when he does that, he'll get you. He'll get you. Elimelech, I tried to get your attention. I couldn't get it. Elimelech will feel a sharp pain in his chest. He'll say, Naomi, 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 I can't breathe. God couldn't get your attention, so he'll take you on to heaven. God's not going to let you get you keep running from his will if you're his child. The voice from behind is going to call and call and call until that time when the voice says, he'll not hear me. I'll take him on to heaven. Elimelech, come on to heaven. It may be that Lot's wife will turn to a pillar of salt. God tried to, the voice from behind was there, but his wife wouldn't listen to it, and she turned to a pillar of salt. Or Ananias and Sapphira may fall dead in church because they won't give God the tithes and the offerings and heed the voice from behind. Or Samuel's vision may become hazy, and Samuel says, I believe I'm having a little trouble with my eyes. I can't focus quite like I used to. And before long, Samson says, My vision's blurry. I can hardly see. I better go have my eyes checked. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, your vision's gone. Before long, Samson is blind, and before long, he's dead. Why? He wouldn't listen to the voice from behind. Listen to me, Christian friends. Now, you listen to me. When you're born of the Spirit of God and become a member of God's family, you're ruined for sin from then on. from then on. You will never be happy in the world. A voice from behind. Now, I want you to notice number two, the message from behind. The voice. Here's a Christian, turns his back on God, runs away from God, leaves the will of God, and the voice from behind follows. But now, what is the message of that voice? Listen, and I'll read it to you. Here's what the voice said. thine ear shall hear a voice, a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. What's the message? This is the way. This is the way. Only one way to be happy. Amen. Only one good way. He didn't say this is the pretty way. He said this is the way. Now, I know the church can't compete with the world as far as beauty is concerned. I mean, when Our Lady sang tonight, they didn't come out with listening outfits and tights on. I'm afraid it ruined the attendance. But the ladies didn't come out, and Mrs. Colston didn't play a big fanfare, and out the ladies came, and I came out, and Brother Vineyard came out with a long flowing robe. And I know we didn't get up with a magazine with a pretty girl on the front, and we didn't have a bunch of signs out there in the front and neon lights going on and off, and we can't compete with the nightclubs and the country clubs and the world. But he didn't say it. This is the pretty way. He said, this is the way. There's only one way for a Christian to be happy, and that's in the will of God. Only one way. Young people, you mark my word tonight. You mark me, and you mark me well. You think you know more than God, you're a fool. You turn your back on God's will, say, I'll do what I want to do. I'll live like I want to live. I'll leave my mom, leave my dad, leave what my pastor's taught me. There's only one way to be happy if you're a child of God. That's God's way. God's perfect will for your life. Oh, listen to me tonight. You listen to me. This is the way. The voice from behind doesn't say, well, this is a way. No, this is the way. This is the way. The voice from behind doesn't say, there's several ways. This is the way. Only one way to be happy. And that's the will of God for your life. It may be that God wants you to serve Him in some little tribe in Africa. It may be that God wants you to sleep in a little tent somewhere and eat the food of the poor pygmies of Africa. But you'll only be happy. The only way you'll ever be happy is there, if that's the will of God for you. It may be the will of God for you might be to go to some island of the sea somewhere and spend your life with a little handful of black people trying to teach them the way to heaven. And you may have to sleep on the ground at night, and you may have to wear the clothes of the heathen people. But if that's where God wants you, that's the only way you're going to be happy. It may be that God wants you to preach His glorious gospel from the pulpit of some church. It may be that God wants you to be a missionary. It may be that God wants you to give your life as the music director. It may be God wants you to give your life to Him completely for service. I don't know where the will of God is for you and what the will of God is for you, but there's only one place in the world to be happy, and that's snuggled up right in the center of God's blessed will for your life. You college students that want to go back home, don't you do it. You stay in the will of God. You want to turn back, hear the voice from behind saying, come back, come back, this is the way, this is the way. And so the voice comes, only one way to happiness, only one way to peace. I understand. People wonder. People say about some of you folks, those crazy fools, only day he has off and he gets up and drives a bus. And it's cold, 20 below zero, and he goes out on the bus route, and then he turns the key on, turns the starter on, and the bus goes. And finally, they put a jumper on the bus, but the jumper can't follow the bus. And the bus gets out to the edge of town somewhere, and there's snow on the ground, and you feel like you want to curse God and die. If you don't curse God, you feel like you're going to die anyhow. And the motor goes out, and you push the starter again, and the starter goes. And then you finally get here, and you get here late, and then when you get here, the preacher says, get here on time! And you say, you idiot, I couldn't get here on time. I know it doesn't seem like it's very much. And then it's time, halfway through the service. I mean, you got up and worked from 7 o'clock in the morning, 20 below zero, and you get here to church. And then you got to reach in your pocketbook and pick out or pull out or get out or yank out 1/10 of all the money you made last week working with your own hands, hard-earned money, and give it that guy for hollering and screaming at you all the time. I And then he gets up and preaches, and you need somebody to speak to you on the peace of God and the love of God. You need somebody to calm your nerves. You're freezing to death. You got frostbite on your nose, and you can't smell, and your snot's become like ice, and it's frozen over, and your hands are frostbitten, and you feel terrible. And what does the preacher get up and do? He says, "Get right with God, you pussyfoot, near tickling, compromising, back tickling, back scratching, penny pinching, nickel nipping, salt soaping, pink tea lemonade Christian. Get right with God, you're going to go to hell." And you say, "Do I get up at 7 o'clock and bring all these kids to hear that hollering and screaming about the judgment of God? I need somebody to pat me on the back, and he kicked me in the pants. I don't need that. I don't need that." Yeah, I know. But this is the way. This is the way. You said that's the way to happiness? Yep. When you're saved, you'll never enjoy reading the newspaper at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning as long as you live again. Never will. Never will.
I mean, if you're born again, you never will enjoy again. Hold a bottle of beer in your hand and tip it to your mouth. But you're ruined if you're born again. Somebody on the inside of you say, "Put that beer bottle down, Buster." Amen.
You're ruined for being happy outside the will of God. This is the way. This is the way. And so the voice from behind comes and says, "This is the way. This is the way. This is the way." Something else I want you to notice about that voice, and that is, no substitute will do. No turning to the right won't do, or turning to the left won't do. Turning completely around is all that'll do.
Amen.
That's all that'll do. Here you are. You left the will of God for your life. Here's God saying, here's a voice from behind says, "Come back, come back." You run farther. And the voice says, "Come back, come back." You run faster, and the voice runs faster. You go into sin, and the voice follows you. And the voice says, "Come back. Come back to Bethel, Jacob. Come back to Palestine, Abraham. Come back to Bethlehem, Naomi. Oh, come back to Abraham, Lot. Come back to the will of God, Samson. Come back to God's will, David. Come back, come back, come back, come back. Come back, come back, come back." But here's what the average Christian will want to do. He won't want to come back. A man sat in my office who had left the will of God for his life. Now listen to me. I think he's saved. I think he's born again, left the will of God for his life. Here's what he said. I said, "Come back, come back," call him by name. "Come back." And he said, "If I get right with God, I couldn't come back to that church. I'd be too embarrassed." What's he doing? He wants to turn to the right or to the left. But that's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to turn all the way around and come back where you came from.
Amen.
Come back. Say, so God follows you. And you leave the will of God. And God follows you. God says, "Come back." And you keep running. God says, "Come back." You keep running. And finally you say, okay. I'll turn to the left. And you begin to walk this way. Maybe you join another church. Or maybe you quit your carousing around. Maybe you come back on Sunday morning, but not Sunday night and Wednesday night. No, God says, "Come back where you were.
Don't turn to the left. But okay, I'll turn to the right. I'll just come on Sunday morning. I'll quit my drinking, but I won't come back to church. Or I'll go to some liberal church. I'd just as soon you go to a nightclub. Or I'll go to church with my husband because my husband goes to a church." Of course, they don't believe the Bible. And of course, they don't believe in the virgin birth. And of course, they don't believe in the deity of Christ. And of course, they don't believe in being born again. And of course, they don't believe in separation. And of course, they're not fundamental. And of course, they don't believe the message of God.
I'd just soon see you go down to this little tavern down the road. In fact, I'd rather see you go down there, because then you know you're in dirty sin. You're not hiding behind some deceiver, some false prophet, who stands behind the pulpit of God and dares to make of it a place of satanic delivery of Satan's message. Don't turn to the right or the left. No, you come right back where you were. Listen to me. Don't you recall the story of Peter? Peter became discouraged. The captain of his salvation is hanging on the cross. Yeah, he's God's child. He left all and followed Jesus. He left his father's business and gave everything for Jesus. But now Jesus is on the cross. Some people come up and say, hey, you sound like one of those Jesus people. No, not one of the Jesus people. Oh, Peter turned his back on Jesus when he needed him the most. Now follow me. A voice from behind said, "Peter, come back. come back. Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. He went back to the old business that he had before, and a voice from behind followed him. And Peter went out on the lake and was fishing all night, but a voice from behind followed him. Looked up and he saw Jesus standing there, and Peter said, it's the Lord. He was naked. When you get back out of the will of God, your skirt line usually comes, hem line usually comes up. I'm getting a sermon on hairline, hemline, skirt line, beeline to the altar. But your hemline comes up. Peter was naked. He jumped in the lake. I wish all the naked folks in Hammond would jump in the lake. At least you'd cover yourself up a little bit. You don't like it? I know. You don't need what you like. You need God's message, dear friend. You don't need what you want. Fellow said, I'm shopping for a church. Won't you get right with God and pray down the will of God for a church? So I'm looking for a preacher I like. Won't you look for a preacher? It tells you what you need.
Amen.
Same kind of logic. Make little boys and girls come to my office sometimes. And I say, won't you come live with me? Oh, come on. You don't want to live with your mom and dad. Come live with me. If you live at my house, you know what I'd do? You know what I'd do? What? You'd never have to eat any more carrots or spinach. You'd come to my house, I'd feed you ice cream for breakfast and candy for lunch and cookies for supper. And I'd never spank you as long as you live. You'd come to my house, I'd do that. You say, what the parents say? They don't like it. But the kids, I want to come to my house with them. You want to go to bed at night? Do you want to go to bed? You can stay in bed as long as you want to in the morning. And girls, never have to make up your room at all. And boys, you can just... And they like that. That's the way you shop for a church. But here's one preacher. It's not going to get into a bidding contest to get you. I'm not going to say, you come to my church and we'll give you soda pop and we'll cater to your needs, and we won't preach against your sin. The truth is, you come here, we might thunder out against your wickedness 3 times a week.
Amen.
Please, I wouldn't like that.
I know. That's why you need it. That's why you need it. And so Jesus came out of the water, and there was Peter. Peter jumped in the lake, and Jesus went over and got some fish and was making some fish. Peter got clothes and came over. And Jesus and Peter are talking there over the fish dinner. Notice, he didn't catch a hog and kill him and make some pork chops. And they're having a little fish dinner there. And Jesus said, Peter, I'm asking you a question. What is it? Now get this. Lovest thou me? And the word love there is agape, deep, abiding love. Why did Jesus ask him that? Because that's where he was before. Jesus is saying, are you back where you were? Have you turned around and come back? Lovest thou me? And Peter didn't come all the way around. He just turned to the right and to the left and said, thou knowest I love thee. But what he said was, thou knowest I phileo thee. Jesus said, Peter, don't you love me? And Peter said, I'm fond of you. He turned to the right or to the left. He didn't keep on going into dirty sin. He said, he admitted he's one of Jesus' own now. But no, he's not back where he was yet. And that's the temptation when a person goes away from the will of God. How many times have I seen young men called of God to full-time service for God, and they get away from the will of God and leave the ministry, and the voice from behind says, come back, come back, come back. Young man says, okay, I'll get right with God. But I'm going to try to make money, and I'll give my money to the church. I'll give a lot of money to God's will. No, don't turn to the right or to the left. Come all the way back.
Amen.
Come all the way back. Let me ask you a question tonight. Everyone, listen. Let me ask you a question. Have you turned your back on God? Huh? Have you turned your back on His Word? How much did you read the Bible last week? There's a voice from behind says, come back. No. He doesn't think. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to say, okay, I'll come back. What you're going to do? You get you a book of devotions, and you read the book of devotions instead of the Bible. You turn into the right or the left there. Won't you come all the way back and dig in the Bible for a while, like you used to? Huh? You say, you had a bus route. And the voice from behind says, come on back, come on back. You say, no, I won't come back. I'll turn to the right or to the left. I'll go visiting some, but I won't come back where I was. God says, turn all the way around, come back. Huh?
Used to, you came to church faithfully and regularly 3 times a week, and every time the door was open, and God says, come on back! You say, okay, I'll come back on Sunday morning. No, that's turning to the right or the left. God says, come all the way back. All the way back. But I'll join this church over here. I just don't agree with Brother Howes on a few things. I'll join this church over here. Aren't you glad, forgive me for putting it this way, but aren't you glad you've got a preacher that you don't agree with on everything so he can straighten you out on a few things? Come on back. Come on back. There's a voice from behind. Hey. But here's what happens. When a person leaves the will of God, now listen, I'm through. He turns his back on God, and God says, the voice from behind says, come on back! Hey! Come on back! But you run away from God, and the voice says, hey! Come on back! Come on back! Come on back! The voice from behind. But you go farther into sin and away from God, and the voice says, come on back. Come on back. Come on back. The voice from behind. And then you go into sin a little bit further, and God punishes you, and the voice from the ear says, come on back. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back. And you put it off, and God knows what's best for you, and the voice from the ear says, come on back. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back. And you go deeper and deeper until finally the day comes when the voice from the rear says, and it never says it again, the voice from behind. Wherever you are tonight, whatever you've turned your back on, hear the voice from behind and come back to the will of God for your life. Have you neglected the Word of God? The voice from behind says, come on back. Have you neglected your prayer life? The voice from behind says, come on back. Have you quit your tithing and giving offerings to God? The voice from behind says, come on back. Have you left out Wednesday night services? The voice from behind says, come on back. Come on back. Come on back. Have you started watching things on television that you know would not please God? The voice from behind says, come on back. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back. Do you have records in your house that would not please God? The voice from behind says, come on back. Come on back. Come on back. This is the way. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Turn all the way around. And come on back. Don't you hear that voice now? At the heart's door, the Savior's knocking. At the heart's door, fast closed by sin. Don't you hear him gently knocking? Draw the bolt and let him in. This is the way. This is the way. Only one way you'll ever be happy, and that's in the will of God for your life. If the will of God for you is to be broke, you'll never be happy having money. If God's will for you is to drive an old car, you'll never be happy driving a Cadillac. If God's will for you is to be unpopular and be a reproach, you'll never be happy being popular. If God's will for you is to weep and cry, you'll never be happy laughing. If God's will for you is out in the sticks, you'll never be happy downtown. Just say, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. Amen. Yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way, just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what his word commands, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. Won't you tonight listen? Shh. Listen to the voice from behind. And turn around and hear him say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that David's in this room tonight shall turn around before they see Absalom's body in the grave. I pray that Naomi's tonight will turn around before they see Malan and Chilion buried. I pray that Samson's will turn around before they find their vision blurred. I pray that Ananias and Sapphira's will turn around before they drop over dead. I pray tonight you'd help hundreds of people in this room to hear the voice from behind. The voice from behind. The voice from behind. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Where are you tonight, huh?
Are you in the will of God for your life? Or have you turned your back on the Word? Turned your back on the Sunday school class you taught? Turned your back on the bus route you used to have? Huh? What's God going to have to do to get your attention? Huh? Don't you hear the voice from behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way. But you say, Brother Hiles, I'm having so much fun in the world. No, there's only one way you'll be happy if you're God's child, and that's in His will. Hear the voice from behind tonight and turn completely, not to the right, not to the left, but all the way around, and walk in it. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I'm saved, but I've turned my back in some way upon God or His plan for my life or His Word. Brother Hiles, in some way, I've turned my back on God. Tonight, I've heard the voice from behind. I've heard the voice from behind tonight. Brother Hiles, would you pray for me? I've turned, in a sense, on God and God's plan. Maybe I've turned my back on soul winning. Maybe I've turned my back on a bus route I used to have. Maybe I've turned my back on the perfect will of God. Maybe I've turned my back on the Word of God in my life. But in some sense, I've turned my back on God and I've